Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
It has been a blessing for us over the last few weeks to just get to know Hope is Alive. Amen? And it is awesome to have so many of you here with us from Hope is Alive. So it's just great to have you. Why don't we welcome all the folks here. You know, we just, the other day, we had an opportunity to go and tour some of the houses and get to know some of the people and just connect a little bit. And one of the things that the Lord laid on our heart was just to invite you as a congregation to help fulfill some wish lists, some things that would be great to have in some of the houses. You know, there are four houses here in Tulsa, two for men and two for women. And so we put this little card together, and there are some Amazon wish lists on it. And these are just some things, some kitchen stuff, some big stuff, some little stuff, that if you would like to make a purchase, you just open up your Amazon account, and you go to this website, or this little link, and hit the button, and buy what you want to buy, and it'll go directly to their house, okay? It's pretty cool, pretty easy. If that is something that you don't want to do, you just say, I don't know anything about that, then you can give online, or you can bring a check and you can put in the offering and just write Hope is Alive on it, and then we'll buy it for them, okay? So we just wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to what God is doing in this incredible ministry, all right? So that card's available to you. If you didn't pick one up on the pew there, then you can pick one up at the information center on the way out, all right? All right, great. So we are in the midst of our sermon series entitled Faithful in the Fray. And today we're looking at what it means to be faithful in witness. Faithful in the fray. You know, life feels like a battle sometimes, doesn't it? I think now more than ever in our world, in our culture, as Christians, we feel like life is a battle, that the world is arrayed against us, that the opposition is pressing in. And sometimes we are engaged in that battle with our culture, and we're standing up against the tide of culture that is pushing against Christianity and everything that we believe is true. Sometimes we're locked in a battle with sin. Many times it's our own sin. It's our own flesh. It's the battle in our own mind. And sometimes it's just life. We're just in a battle with life, because life is hard sometimes, isn't it? Has nothing to do with, indirectly it's sin, it's the brokenness of this world, but life is hard, and we're in a battle. But God has called us to be faithful in the fray, to be faithful in the midst of that battle, and to maintain a witness in the midst of it all. To continue to reach out to people and to share the truth of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ with people, even though it's difficult, even though we're in a battle. How do we do that? How do we remain faithful to the Lord and continue to reach out with the gospel? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us in this passage an example of what that looks like. And it's a powerful example. And I think that as we look at this passage today, you're going to see three weapons that we have been, that have been placed at our disposal in order to be able to fight this battle, in order to continue to maintain a witness in the midst of opposition. So let's dig into it. And we're going to look at the first of these weapons, and that is tenacity. The Lord has given us tenacity. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without result. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. Treated outrageously in Philippi. What does that look like? Well, if you look in Acts chapter 16, you can read a little bit about what happened with the Apostle Paul there in Philippi. And really, what happened to him was outrageous. He had just been doing good. He had healed a woman who was demon-possessed. And as a result, the people who were exploiting her brought charges against the apostle and his team. They were carried into the magistrates. They were severely beaten. They were thrown into prison. They were locked in a prison cell. In the center of the prison, in the middle of the night, they began to sing hymns, and there was an earthquake that shook the prison, and they remained in prison. They were dishonored by the people that surrounded them. But yet the Lord delivered them from all of that. They were treated outrageously. Have you ever been treated outrageously? I think we all have been treated outrageously at some point. We've all been hurt by other people. We've all been left out of things. We've felt dishonored by people. And it's outrageous and it's painful. And our response, our natural response, is either to lash out and to fight back for our rights, for our honor, for our position. Or yet, it's to withdraw. We just pull back and we say, I'm done. I'm done with these people. I've had it. I'm out of here. Have you ever said that? I'm done with these people. I'm done with that person. I'm finished. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm not going to deal with it any longer. And we withdraw. Can you think of a family member that you're not speaking to? Can you think of a coworker that you routinely avoid? Maybe even there's someone here at the church that you shun, right? I think it happens all the time. We withdraw from people. But how can we be a faithful witness for the Lord if we're in a state of withdrawal from the very people that need the ministry of the gospel? How can we do it? How can we reach out in love to people when we've built up walls that separate us from the very people that most need the gospel? Amen? It's an important question for us to think about. But you know what? The Apostle Paul says this, but with the help of our God. You see, he acknowledges that in the face of being treated outrageously, the only way we can get beyond that is with the help of our God. The only way that we can overcome the pain and the hurt of what people have done to us is if we turn to the Lord and we avail ourselves of his power, the power of his spirit in our lives, to help us move past that, to let go of the pain, to let go of the resentment and the hurt that we feel. Only in this way can we be a witness for the Lord. He says, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel. I love this word, dared. You remember playing truth or dare when you were a kid? Dare always implies a risk of some sort, right? There's risk involved in this, and there is risk in living the gospel life. There's always risk. Because we could be hurt again. And the answer is yes, we're probably going to be hurt again. That risk never goes away. But living the gospel life, being a witness of his love, will be opposed in this world. They oppose Jesus. Jesus says, they hated me. What do you think they're going to do to you? They're going to hate you. You will experience opposition in this world if you try to live out the gospel in your life. Paul was treated outrageously in Philippi. And so when he finally gets free of that city, he goes to Thessalonica, and the Bible says, hey, we're in the face of strong opposition. It didn't get any better. It didn't get any better, folks. You see, it doesn't get any better. It's difficult. It's difficult to live the Christian life. It didn't get easier for Paul. It didn't get easier for Jesus. The opposition continued to increase and increase throughout his ministry until they finally nailed him to a cross. The world is outrageous, but we must be tenacious. Amen? Think about that. The world is always going to treat us outrageously, but we must be tenacious. We must stand against it, or we will never be faithful in our witness for Jesus Christ. We'll never be effective in our witness if we continue to get hurt, allowing ourselves to feel hurt and holding on to that pain and that resentment. It prevents us from communicating the love of the gospel to others. We must be tenacious. This is what God has called us to. The first weapon is tenacity. The second weapon is authenticity. Authenticity. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. It says, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you." Paul says, "I'm not trying to trick you." My sister and I have taken it upon ourselves. My dad's 90 years old, and so we have taken it upon ourselves to help him with his correspondence. He receives a ton of mail every week. I mean, literally a ton of mail. It's a box this big, full of mail. And the majority of it is deception and trickery, false documents, all kinds of bills that aren't true, all kinds of crazy stuff. They're just trying to deceive us. This world wants to deceive us. It wants to trick us. It wants to exploit us. It wants to oppress us. That's what this world does. It wants to rob us and confuse us. And this happens in religion as well. It does. It happens in the church. There are people who manipulate people into feeling like they need to give money. They twist and push them to feel like they have to give of their time and of their efforts. And it all comes from impure motives. You see, here at the Kirk, we're going to encourage you to give. We're going to encourage you to serve. Because that's what Jesus calls us to do. But you should never feel manipulated. We're going to tell you right to your face, this is what we're going to tell you what to do. Because that's what God has called us to do. And we're going to lead the way as Paul did and demonstrate it. But we're not going to manipulate you. That's what the world does, is trying to destroy us, is trying to manipulate us. Look at what Paul goes on to say. "We speak as those approved by God." I love this. "We speak as those approved by God." Paul is saying that his team is the authentic representatives of God. You are God's authorized dealers of the gospel. Do you ever see a sign in the window of a store? Authorized dealer. Authorized dealer of Sony products. Authorized dealer of Toro lawnmowers. We are authorized dealers of the gospel. We are the authorized dealers of the gospel. What does that mean? Well, it means that we have been trained. It means that we have been equipped and we have been supplied with the real deal. We got the real stuff. We've got the true gospel, the true message of salvation for the world. It's not some knockoff gospel that we've been given, some gospel that when life gets rough and you lean on it, it falls apart. We've got the real deal. We've got the true stuff. We are the authorized dealers of that gospel. Okay? And this is what God has called us to. We have been entrusted with the gospel, with this message. This message is a message of salvation. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, the movie 1917. See the movie 1917? It came out like right before the pandemic. And it's a great movie. It's a movie about World War I. And there aren't many movies about World War I. And so as a history guy, I love movies about history. And this is a really well-done movie about just a really terrible conflict in world history. Let me just give you the basic idea of the movie. The basic idea is this, that all along the front, that the enemy had created a trap. And they had made it appear that they had withdrawn, and the army was about to launch an attack into that gap that had been created. But another commander on another part of the front had realized that it was a trick, that it was deceptive, that it was a trap. And the only way to get that message to the commander that was about to send his men headlong into destruction was to give that message to two young soldiers. And the whole movie is their odyssey through the trenches, through no man's land, through occupied territory, to get this message of salvation to these soldiers who are about to charge headlong into their own destruction. Friends, that's the gospel, isn't it? We have been given the message of salvation to carry to people that are charging headlong into their own destruction because of this, the deceit of the enemy. And God has given us that message of salvation. It's not a message for us. We're already saved. He's given us the message to take to them who are still in danger. Is it an easy thing to do, carry that message? No. It's one of the most difficult things. Is it for our benefit and our comfort? No, it's for others. It's for Tulsa. That's why we talk about being a church that is for Tulsa. We've already got salvation. It's the rest of our city that's dying and going into destruction without even knowing it. And God has called us to carry that message to others. Paul goes on and he says, "We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts." We're not trying to please people. This is a huge temptation, isn't it? It's a temptation in life, am I right? It's a temptation in life to try to live your life to please other people. And we all know where that ends up, right? It ends up in destruction because we can't ever please people. Certainly a temptation in ministry. We as pastors, myself and Aaron and Colin and Sean, we want to please you. We want you to come. We want you to be happy. We want you to be happy campers here at the church. But guess what? We don't work for you. We don't work for you. Amen? We work for God because God's the one who's going to test our hearts. God tests our hearts. We work for Him. And we have to keep that in perspective, don't we? We have to keep that focused in our lives. No, whether we're pastors or in ministry or whether we're just trying to live life. We can't live for other people. We have to live for the Lord. We don't try to please people. He then says, you know, we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask. This is especially appropriate today, isn't it? Some of you, I don't know what you're looking at, what you're doing with your face behind that mask. You could be just sticking your tongues out at me the whole time, right? We use masks to cover up our face, to hide the truth. Paul says, I don't put on a mask to hide greed. We don't put on masks to hide our motives. We're not trying to manipulate people. We don't try to hide our objective. We serve the Lord. We don't serve people. We work for His kingdom, no apologies. We also don't put on a mask to hide our humanity. We are broken and flawed people, just like everyone else. You know, people don't come to this church because we're attractive. It's just not happening. People don't come to this church because we're attractive or because we're perfect. People don't come to this church because you're perfect. Amen? People come to this church. People are attracted to the gospel because we and the message that we have is authentic. It's true. And people are looking for truth. In this world today that is filled with deception, that is filled with trickery, that is filled with all kinds of masks, people are looking for the truth. They just want somebody to be real with them. And Jesus was real. He was real with people. And we need to be real with people. We need to share with them the truth of our lives. And it is in that that people are drawn to the gospel. So we've been given tenacity. We've been given authenticity. And the final weapon that we are given in order to have a testimony is gentleness. Gentleness. It's a little different. You see, after highlighting both tenacity and authenticity, Paul now softens. And he tells us that we have to have a posture of gentleness toward those who hear the gospel. And he uses the family as an illustration. We're going to see three different family illustrations that show up here in the passage that help us to focus in. And the first of those is that we are to be, we are to be like children, humble like children. It says, we are not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. God has given you authority. He's given you authority. He's given you the truth. And you can use that truth like a baseball bat and whack people over the head with it. Have you ever been whacked over the head with truth? I mean, sometimes it happens. Sometimes people use truth. They wield truth like a weapon. And we can do a lot of damage to people. But Paul says we must be gentle. We must be gentle. It's easy to damage people with our authority, to drive people away, to damage their receptors. I think people have receptors for the gospel. And if we keep hitting them, we damage those receptors. And they're not receptive anymore to the gospel. And they turn away from us. And they don't want to hear the truth. And it's to their detriment. But it's our fault. Because we damage their ability to receive the truth. Because we've damaged their receptors. So we must be careful. We must be gentle. It's easy when we're fighting against the culture. Right? The culture is opposing us. It's bearing down upon us. And we have to stand up and we have to fight and we have to push back and we have to be tenacious, right? And then we've been given the authority and we've been given the truth and we have to be authentic and we're busy being authentic and we're standing up and we're pushing back. And it's easy to lose our gentleness. It's easy to get out of balance. Have you ever seen pictures of people on the news? Good people, right? Standing up for against bad things, like let's say like abortion or 100 other different issues going on in our culture. And you see these good Christian people standing and yelling and screaming and shaking signs in the air. You think, what happened to the gentleness? You see, they got out of balance. And as a result, all the people that are watching on the news, their receptors just go, we're not listening anymore. They're not listening to us. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be really careful. The Apostle Paul says, we came to you like children. We were like children among you. Did you ever receive a gift from a little child? Happens all the time in church. You know, a little kid goes to Sunday school class and he gets a little coloring page, you know, of Jesus and the little children, and he's got the green crayon all over it, right? And comes in, Mommy, Daddy, look, here's a gift for you. You give me a gift, right? And you say, oh, it's so beautiful. We put it up on the refrigerator, take it to the office and hang. I mean, let's be honest, it's hideous, right? But yet, how can you refuse a gift from a little child, right? It was given with so much love and so much care that you received that gift. Paul says, we were among you like little children because we had the gift of the gospel and we want to give you this gift and we want you to receive it. So we don't want to damage your receptors. Get it? And so he comes with this innocence and this weakness and this humility so that people will receive the truth. This is what Paul's talking about. So let's go on and look at this second example that he gives us of gentleness. It says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. There's nothing more tender, nothing more beautiful than the picture of a nursing mother, of a mother that is nurturing her little child, waking up every night devoted, caring for this little baby. We're in the midst of that right now. I have a picture of my grandson. This is our grandbaby, Evan. He was 1 month old yesterday. And that's our only daughter, Gabby. And she is a devoted, loving, incredible little mother. And the Lord is using her powerfully as she cares for this child. And as I think about this little child, and I think about her relationship with it, it's a picture for us of the way that we are to care for people. The way we are to care for people who have not yet heard the gospel. All right, enough of the pictures. All right. So just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. You see, the Apostle Paul loved these people. He had never met them before, but his life was overflowing with love for them. He cared for them. He loved them. You cannot communicate the gospel of love and the love of God if you don't do it with love. Right? If you don't love people into the kingdom, they'll never understand a gospel that is built on the very love of God because you haven't demonstrated it to people. And so we must love people if we want to communicate the truth, if we want to carry the witness faithfully and effectively of the gospel. And then he goes on to say here, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. You see, so many times we think of the gospel only as a message. The gospel is a sermon, right? It's a teaching. Okay, and we got to share the gospel. We have to give our testimony. We have to speak our witness of the gospel. But that's not just it. We have to live out the gospel in relationship. You see, the gospel is offering our friendship to people. The gospel is caring for people. It's being concerned for people. It's loving people unconditionally. The gospel is an invitation to dinner. The gospel is a conversation over coffee. The gospel is helping a neighbor with yard work. The gospel is so much more than just a message, than a sermon. The love, the dedication, the tenderness, the gentleness of a nursing mother is the picture of our faithful witness. There's one more illustration that the Apostle Paul gives us, and you guessed it. Yes, it is a father, an encouraging father. So we've seen we must be humble like a child. We must be nurturing like a mother. And finally, we must be encouraging like a father. Look at verse 11. It says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." God calls us to be encouraging and comforting like a father. My mother was a wonderful, nurturing mother. She prayed for me. She loved me. But my dad built my confidence because my dad encouraged me. He encouraged me to be a good student. He taught me how to work with my hands. He taught me how to become the person that I am today. And so that is our job as well, not only to share the gospel, but then to take those who are receiving the gospel and then encourage them and help them to grow and comfort them and urge them to live the life that is worthy of the gospel so that eventually they can stand on their own feet. They can walk in their own faith and their own relationship with God so that we can then release them to become disciplers themselves. Amen? This is what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to be faithful witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is how we do it. We have to be bold. We have to be tenacious. We have to be authentic. But we have to balance that with gentleness so that people will receive the message of salvation that God has entrusted us with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be your witnesses. It's not an easy calling, but you've done it for others so that we can carry the gospel to a world that is running headlong into disaster, into destruction. Lord, give us the ability to hear your word, to follow this example, and to be effective in our testimony to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.